Lord God, we thank you for this time and your presence. Lord, we thank you that as we just get into your word, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, counsel, the fear of the Lord, the anointing of God, a keen discernment, the tongue of the learned, and activation of gifts, Holy Spirit. Lord God, we praise you for just miracles, signs, and wonders as we receive your word and as our faith is built. And we just, Lord God, just say, come on, Holy Spirit. Have your way in our lives on today. We thank you. We praise you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So today, I just want to thank each and every last one of you for coming on today. And I truly do believe that God has something that he wants to say to us through his word. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. And today we're going to talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord. Because there's a lot of times where we experience things and we look for other people to pump us up, to bring us back, to revive us, right? Like emotionally. And so there's something here in the scriptures where we realize that our strength can't be drawn from ourselves. It can't be drawn from other people, but it has to be strength that we draw from the Lord. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 6, reads like this: David and his men arrived in Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had raided the Negev and attacked and burned Ziklag. They also had kidnapped the women and everyone in it, from the youngest to the oldest. They had killed no one, but had carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men arrived at the town, they found it burned. Their wives, sons, and daughters had been kidnapped. David and the troops with him wept loudly until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had also been kidnapped. David was in an extremely difficult position because the troops talked about stoning him, for they were all very bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. If you're reading the King James, it says David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. You may be seated. Amen. So we're going to talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord. And so we see here in the scripture that David and his men were off doing work. They're often in war, what they do, you know. And so as they're away, you know, you ever heard the saying, while the cat's away, the mice will play, you know. And so in this case, the Amalekites, who, if you look in their history, in Israel's history, the Amalekites were people that Israel had already defeated. So wait. Something I thought was already defeated came back and tormented me. And so he says here that the Amalekites came while they were away. They attacked and they raided and they took their people as slaves. They took their people as slaves. And so they are in this position where, okay, all my family, my daughters, my sons, everybody's gone. All my stuff is gone. All right. All this stuff that it took me blood, sweat, and tears to gain is gone now. All of it is gone. It's taken away in a moment. And so he says, it says here that David and his troops wept loudly until they had no more strength left to weep. Anybody ever been there where you just cried until you can't cry no more? You ain't got no more tears. It says they wept loudly until they had no more strength left to weep. And these are men. So that means that men can cry. But then it says they had no more strength left to weep. Then David's two wives, David realized that not only were the people affected, but he as a leader was affected as well. And so it says that David was in an extremely difficult position because the troops talked about stoning him. There's something about grief where grief is connected with anger. See, you ain't grieving sad. No, you're angry. Why? Because how could this happen to me? Anybody ever ask that question in a moment of extreme grief where it's like, how could God, how could you let this happen to me? And so it says he was, so the people said, okay, it's your fault that this happened, because if we weren't away doing your work, then we would have been here to protect them. Where else do we see that? Where Lazarus, right? What did it say? The sister said, what? If you had been here, he would not have died. And so we always look for someone to blame in our grief. It's not our fault. No, it's somebody else's fault. Somebody has to be the blame. And so it says this, they talked about stoning him, for they were all very bitter. That's another thing connected with grief, is bitterness. So grief is connected with anger and bitterness, all right? And so that's why when we're in a moment of grief, we get angry, right? And then we get so angry to where, you know what? I'm not coming to church no more. See, if God don't want to protect me from this grief, then you know what? I'm not coming to church. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to praise. I'm not going to open up my Bible. You know what? I'm going to do what I used to do. See, grief have you doing some stuff. All right. And so it says that they were very bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters. But then it says David found strength. If you look at the Hebrew, it says, not only did he find strength, but he drew strength from the Lord his God. See, sometimes we're in a moment of extreme grief, or we're depressed, or whatever, you know, negative emotion is trying to overtake us at the moment. Sometimes we try to, within ourselves, we try to find the what to get moving again. And we realize that the gas is out of the tank. We ain't got nothing left. We done cried ourselves to sleep to the point. That's why we cry, because we ain't got no more strength. We cry ourselves to sleep. We cover our head under the covers. All right. And then we realize I ain't got nothing left to try to move on. I'm trying. Somebody call you and say, sis, just hold on, sister. Just hold on, brother. You can make it. You can keep moving forward. I ain't got no more strength to move forward. What you talking about? And so David realized that if he would have tried to draw strength from himself, then he would have found himself in the same despondent place as the troops. Because how many know misery loves company? See, I ain't going to be the only one that's sad. I ain't going to be the only one that's feeling miserable and horrible. You're going to be in this pity party with me. See, when other people are down, they try to pull you down too, especially if they see you okay. You're sad, yeah, but you're finding, okay, God, I can move on by faith. I can move on past this moment. They say, you ain't going to leave us alone. Let me pull you back. That's why people get angry at you, because you can forgive people. That's why people get angry at you, because you're not letting grief keep you shut in. Because you learn that it's by faith that we draw strength from God and we move past our moments of failure, of loss. All right. And so when he uses the word in the King James, use the word encourage or found strength, that means to be strong or to strengthen or to make firm. Why? Because encouragement is a deliberate act of inner fortification. And so it is, you often use an Old Testament to describe God strengthening his people. In Joshua 1:6, what does God tell Joshua? Be strong. So God is encouraging Joshua, because Joshua's like, oh my God, it's so many people. I've never led more than 10 people before. So now I'm leading millions of people. What am I going to do? What if we experience the same difficulties Moses experienced? What if the people get angry at me just like they got angry at Moses? Oh my God, what are we going to do? And so God told Joshua, he said, be strong and courageous. So God literally said to Joshua, be strong twice. Because remember, encouragement is to be strengthened. And so God said, be strong and continue to be strong. Because you're going to need it. All right. And so David is applying it to himself by strengthening himself in the Lord his God. Why? In the Lord, because he uses the word Yahweh, the name Yahweh, which is God's covenant name. Because, see, I am strengthening myself. I am drawing strength from the covenant that I have with God, because we are covenant people. And so because we are covenant people with God, that means that there is an agreement that if we continue to have faith in God and trust in God, then God will continue to show up for us and be who he says he is. And God is one who makes a promise and he doesn't break it. See, situations and circumstances may cause us to doubt the covenant, but the covenant is something that cannot be nullified. It cannot be weakened, because God's covenant is eternal. That's why in Psalm 119, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. So whenever God says a word out there, his word is forever. That means that storms can come, winds can come, wars can come, famines can come, economic depressions can come. But God's covenant remains intact. So your circumstance does not diminish the promise that God made to you. It's just that the circumstance is the devil testing you and trying to get you to give up on what God has promised. Because if you continue to hold on to the promise, then the promise, the benefits of the promise will come into your life. And in this case, there is a covenant of strength. All right. And so encouragement is not merely a fleeting feeling, but a determined choice to strengthen your inner man by faith in God's character and his promises. And so this is an act of faith beyond what it looks like, beyond what it looks like. See, we got to get to the point where we don't let what things look like define how we believe. Because even in Psalm 23, what does it say? Even though I go through the valley. Even though I go through. So you're just going through. You're on a journey, right? You're on a journey of faith, and you're going through the valley. Every time it's not going to be a high hill. You're not going to always be on a mountaintop. Sometimes you got to go in through the valley, and it's in the valley that the sun sometimes is blocked out. All right. And so then it says in this scripture, we need to understand this, that renewing our mind is central to receiving encouragement. Because why? Romans tells us what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so if I am going to do this, am I going to walk this walk of faith out, then I got to realize that my mind got to be renewed. Romans 12:2 says what? Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God. What is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God? So God's will is good, is pleasing, and is perfect. That's scripture. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And so if you're not experiencing a good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, then you need to ask a question. Am I expecting the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God? If I'm not expecting a good, pleasing, and perfect will of God, then I got to ask myself another question. Is my mind renewed yet? Because sometimes we're looking at things with old eyes. And so Paul calls the believers in Romans 12:2 to change not only their behavior, but the very way they think, aligning with God's truth rather than worldly patterns. So if you're really going to walk the walk of faith, then you have to realize it's not like what you used to be in. So you got to change the way you think. You got to stop dealing with things the way you used to deal with things. You got to change the way you think. So that word renewing means a complete renovation. Anybody like renos? What if you could get your kitchen redone, your bathroom redone? You'd be all right, right? Come on, I ain't the only one that like look at my walls and stuff and be like, man, if I had the money to be able to do this or do that, you know, I'd be good, because we like renovation. And so Paul here is saying, now you need a complete renovation of your mind, a fresh change for the better, all right? It literally means a new creation or renewal. And so your mind encompasses your intellect, your perception, and your understanding. And so we need to understand that encouraging ourselves in the Lord requires changing our thought patterns from despair and fear to hope and trust, and that the mind is a battleground where discouragement often takes root. Your mind is the battleground. That's why sometimes you could be minding your business, right? Then all of a sudden, a thought come up. And that thought could not be positive, could not be the word. It's a thought about somebody don't like you, something not going to go your way, something going to overtake you. All of a sudden, that thought, and you battling trying to keep that thought. And the more you try within yourself, because, see, we still learning to actually stand against the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. So while we learning, sometimes you catch us slipping where we trying to still say, I don't want that. But then it keep coming with more ferocity, right? It's like you could be trying to go to sleep. I'm just going to go to sleep. You know what? I'm just going to take a nap and go to sleep. And while you're trying to go to sleep, what's happening? The thought reel is playing. The thought reel. That's why some of y'all don't go to sleep on the time you're supposed to, because your mind be racing. And so it says this. It says, through intentional meditation on scripture, because in Joshua 1, that's what he told Joshua to do. He said, if you want to take control of your thought life, if you want to be able to draw on that strength that God provides, because you're not only going to be strong now, but you're going to have to continue to be strong, but you're going to be strong in the Lord, all right? And so if you want to do that, you got to learn how to meditate on the word. He told her, meditate on the word day and night. Why? Because you're remembering the covenant promises of God. So when the devil tries to come at you with his lies, because he will come at you with lies, the devil doesn't know the truth. So if any thought comes in your mind from the devil, never ever say it is the truth. It is always a lie. It may look like the truth, but it still has an element of the lie. And a little bit of lie makes it a whole lie. All right. And so through meditation on the scripture, God's revealed word, we experience transformation that empowers us to be encouraged. That's why when you get a diagnosis from the doctor, because you have the covenant from God that says by his stripes you've been healed, you can continually declare and decree that over yourself. Even as you take your medication, you're saying, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. And every time you go to the doctor may say, well, we see some improvement. I know, because by his stripes I'm healed. In Psalm 119 verse 105, it says this, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. Why? Because the word guides our thoughts and our actions. All right. And so in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, he says this, because prayer is vital means for himself and the Lord. All right. And so Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 says with this, don't worry about anything. I can stop right there, right? Because in God's word, it says, don't worry about anything. But wait, it's something else here. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So that means that I pray differently now. I'm not praying saying, please God do this, please God do that. Why? Because I'm in the word. And because I'm in the word, now I know his promises, and I pray from his promises. And so now I'm saying, thank you, Lord. As I bring my petition, I'm not bringing my petition hoping he answer my mail. It's not like when the little kids used to write letters to Santa and then put it in the mailbox and it goes nowhere. No, but see, because I know his promises, I'm praying differently. I'm not begging him to do anything, but I'm thanking him for everything that was already done. Last week we celebrated Resurrection Day, right? And Resurrection Day acknowledges the finished work of Christ. All right. It doesn't just acknowledge his death on a cross on Friday, but we acknowledge the fact that when he got up, he sealed his promises and says, amen, it's done. All right. And so he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request. So even Paul says this. So if you want to pray effectively, then you need to bring your prayer with thanksgiving and present your request to God. And guess what's going to happen? Because your thankfulness, your gratitude acknowledges that God will not fail you. And so then the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. So your friends won't understand how you are so calm. Your family won't understand why you didn't lose your mind. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all human understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. So that word guard means that the peace of God will literally be an umpire or a filter for your heart and mind. So when those invasive thoughts try to come at you, all right, that disturbance, that chaos tries to come at you, then the peace of God is like this, not in my house. Because scripture tells us that our bodies are the temple. We are the house of the Holy Spirit. And so the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. But you got to be committed to this. This cannot be a fleeting thing. This cannot be something that you do every now and then. This has to be a lifestyle for you. Because if it's something that you do every now and then you're going to be kind of on and off. You're going to short circuit, right? And so we need to understand that peace is not the absence of conflict, but a deep tranquility rooted in God's presence. And so encouraging ourselves in the Lord involves turning worry into worshipful dialogue with God, because prayer shifts our focus from our problems. Didn't I say this before? Prayer shifts our focus from our problems to God's power. And so this divine exchange brings peace that protects our hearts against fear and discouragement. And Psalm 34, verse 17, it says what? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. All right? Because prayer is what activates our deliverance. And so the righteous cry out in the Lord. So the moment you say, Lord God, I thank you, God is like, yes. I know sometimes because of delays, you think that God is like da, 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 and you're like praying, like when you were little, and then you would say, Mom, Mom, and it seemed like there was so much noise around you, and you're just like, you know, like we think God is like that, where he's just like I can't hear you over the other noise. There's chaos in this country. There's chaos, so I can't hear you over all the noise. God is not like that. But it says the righteous cry out and the Lord immediately hears them. He says, yeah. Okay, all right. Angels, go. Because in the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed, Daniel thought, okay, maybe something's wrong. Right? Anybody ever thought, maybe something's wrong. Maybe I didn't pray the right prayer. Right? Because you're thinking the answer should be here today. But it's now a week going on, 2 weeks, and I'm on a deadline because I got to have, you know, whatever done by this time. So God, where you at? But see, what did the angel say? The angel said that from the moment you prayed, your answer was dispatched. But then the devil was playing defense. Anybody ever play basketball and you think, okay, I'm going to dribble it straight to the hoop and do the layup or do a dunk if you can dunk, you know, some people are vertically challenged, but if you think you're going to go, but then all of a sudden while you on your way, somebody posts up. See, the devil is just like that. While you think, okay, I'm going to pray this prayer, and the moment I pray this prayer, it's going to go all net. The devil is like, no, I'm going to post up. I'm going to try to block you. And sometimes there anybody ever had playing basketball, sometimes what they'll do for that person they know is going to get that shot, they'll do two-man post up. And it's almost like you're surrounded. Right. And I think about in Kings, where the servant of the prophet, he said that we're surrounded. The armies are on all sides. What are we going to do? And the prophet said, we'll be all right. He's like, what you talking about? And so the prophet had to ultimately say, Lord, open his eyes. And when he opened the servant's eyes, all of a sudden, those that were surrounding them were surrounded by angels. And so any time in your life where you think you're surrounded by the enemy on all sides, he's coming at me in my finance, he's coming at me in my health, he's coming at me in my family, you think you're surrounded. But open your eyes. Because if you open your eyes, you realize that what surrounded you is surrounded. And so the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their trouble. And so A.W. Tozer said this: prayer is not preparation for the work. Prayer is the work. And so the next thing we need to understand is that remembering God's faithfulness and covenant promises helps us to endure as we seek God's encouragement. Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23 says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here we come again with the theme of covenant, because that word faithful love is the word chesed, which is a word that means covenant loyalty and steadfast loving kindness. So God is in covenant with you. Because God is in covenant with you, he says, because the Lord's faithful love, guess what? We don't perish. I know I can feel the heat, but I ain't gonna burn. Do you think about the young men? And in the book of Daniel, they were in the furnace. Wait, but God was supposed to keep them from the furnace. God was supposed to shut the door of the furnace and keep it from opening. No, sometimes you go in the furnace. But guess what? Because of the Lord's covenant with them, because they acknowledged the covenant before the king, they said, our God is able. But even if he don't, we know he can. And because they remembered the covenant, because they were in a different place. They were in a place that did not acknowledge the covenant of God, but they acknowledged the covenant of God. And because they acknowledged the covenant of God and they had faith for the covenant, when they got put in the fiery furnace and it was heated so hot to where the people that put them in burned up. But then when they were in there, all of a sudden it says, we put three in there, but there's a fourth person. Who's the fourth person? It's the covenant keeping God. He's right there. He's right there. He's right there. So it's because of God's covenant with you that you do not perish. For his mercies never end. His mercies never end. And James, we find out that mercy triumphs over judgment. And because his mercies never end, that means no matter how stupid we act, he's still merciful. You know what, Father? I shed my blood for that. Wait, but then the devil, who's the accuser of the brethren, said, but look. Look what they did. He says, here's another drop. But wait. But they know they did wrong. Here's another drop. Because his mercies never end. Scripture tells us what? They are new every morning. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. So wait, I thought I had, you know, because seven is God's number. So I thought I had seven mercy chances. So no, no, scripture says, no, they are new every morning. So you used up five yesterday, you got more today. So that word faithfulness means God is reliable, but I can't trust nobody. That's why I keep myself walled off. That's why I keep my distance from people, because I can't trust nobody. But God ain't like them. It says that God, it says great is your faith. So there is nobody reliable like God. And so we need to realize that encouragement grows when we recollect on how God has been faithful in the past. So think about what he's done for you. Think about the times that he's come through for you. Use that to build momentum of faith to go to that next place of faith. Say, okay, God did this for me. So if God did this for me and his mercies are new every morning, then he's going to continue and he's going to do even better tomorrow. He's not going to let this run him out, because I was watching this. I like anime. So I was watching this one anime, and the guy was running out of stamina. And when he was running out of stamina, and he was dead, like everybody saw him. And all of a sudden, his stamina replenished. So I look at it like that. Like, just because we think we run out, then God says, I'm not gonna let you die where you are. I'm not gonna let you die. You got too much in you to die here. There's too many people waiting on you for you to die right here. So just because right now your situation blinds you from your purpose has never weakened. As a matter of fact, the reason why you experience the challenge you experience is because you got so much purpose on the inside of you. And the devil don't want you to realize that. That's why he tried to make you park yourself by your failures. He tried to make you give up 10 years ago. He tried to make you feel like your life was worthless, and he thought those pills would end you. He thought that alcohol would end you. He thought the needles would end you. He thought slashing your wrist would end you. But God said, no, 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 no. Just because you may feel dead, I'm going to resurrect you. Psalm 89 verse 1 says what? I will sing of the Lord's faithful love. There we go with that word cassette again. I will sing of the Lord's faithful love forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. And so hope for tomorrow comes from remembering God's faithfulness yesterday. And then the last thing I want you to understand is this: encouragement empowers courageous action rooted in God's presence. Joshua 1:9 says, haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so when we see that word be strong, it's the same word encourage, meaning to be strengthened or firm. Courageous, brave, or resolute. And then when he says with you, that means God's abiding presence never leaves. So wait, when during praise and worship, I thought that we're inviting the presence of the Lord here. No, we're not, because God's presence is always here. We may not acknowledge it, but that don't mean he's not here. It's something that we gotta change our mindset about. Because see, if we treat God like we have to invoke him, we have to conjure him up. The right song, the right chord, Minister Larry, the right chord to bring him in here. Then we're saying that God is not reliable. He's not consistent. That means his word is a bunch of lies. No, it's not. Because it says here that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So even when you were in that space doing the wrong thing, God was right there. Saying, are you done yet? In Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Now, this was under the old covenant. We got a better covenant. And so under the better covenant, these promises didn't go away. They just got better. And so we need to understand that encouragement results in practical boldness and readiness to face challenges because of confidence in God's presence. The internal strengthening transforms into external action without fear. And so we're not just getting the glads because we just want to have a good time in church, but we're getting a joy of the Lord because now God says, now go do something. What you were afraid to do before because you thought you were going to fail, because you didn't have enough resource, because you thought you weren't good enough, now go do it. See, there's no purpose of gassing up your car and you're not going nowhere. And a lot of people they want God to use them. God, use me for your glory. Like, I want to be like the person in the Bible that did all this stuff, but we're not actually doing anything. We get the word to build our faith. We hear the testimonies to build our faith, but we're gassed up and we're not doing. So now it's a challenge, because here's the thing. Once David encouraged himself in the Lord, he went and did something. He didn't just say, well, let me go pray about it. He prayed about it, but then he said, let's go do something. And so there's a time for inaction. That time is over. Think about it. In your life, your time of inaction is over. You've been lazy long enough. Now it's time to use your faith. To use the strength that God has provided you. He didn't say just be strong, but he says continue to be strong. And now you need to do it, because faith that encourages leads directly to action, and courageous steps honor God. And so today we choose to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We choose to draw on your strength, God. By your Spirit, Lord God, we are firmly strengthened within. Our mind is renewed by your word. Our heart is guarded by your peace through prayer and thanksgiving. Lord, we remember that your unfailing love and covenant faithfulness never ends. Therefore, we move forward boldly and courageously because the Lord our God goes with us always. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, I'm going to encourage you to take the limits off of God. Whatever it was that you had been thinking about, praying about, and needing 10,000 confirmations for, your confirmation has arrived. Now do something. Act on what God has already challenged you to do. A lot of times God's commandments or God's directions to us will challenge who we think we are, because God knows who we really are. God knows the ability that he has enabled us, he has placed within us through his Holy Spirit. And so he says to us through his word, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Don't discount yourself because of what somebody said about you. But now, you need to take that next step and obey what he says. So I want to encourage you today, if you are not inside of Christ right now, because this strengthening yourself, drawing the strength from God, can only happen if you're connected to him. And that connection happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he died for us and he rose for us. So I want to encourage you today to just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you not only died for my sins, but you rose again, giving me victory in this life and eternity with you. I thank you, Jesus, for the strength that you provide, because your grace is enough. Now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to join a Bible-believing church. If you're in the New York, New Jersey area, Yes Lord Ministries is a good church. And so I just definitely want you to just let us know. If you're in another area, we can help you connect to a church that's Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, so that you can be discipled to the next place in God. Lord God, I just thank you right now for your people, that where fear and trepidation and discouragement had them bound, today they're free. They're loosed to live for you. They're loosed to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we thank you that our circumstances do not define your promises, but your covenant promises never fail. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. And we thank you that you're forever reliable and there is nobody like you. So God, we thank you right now that you're transforming us from fear to faith. We thank you, Lord, for enlightening our hearts with your truth, the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed and refreshed in the Lord.